Hey, it's Nina. I'm super excited to announce the launch of our new WhatsApp group. You will have the opportunity to talk to contributors and also to me and my dog, Indy. I will also be posting in that group pictures of Indy, me recording behind the scenes things. And you can also discuss with us what would be themes that you would like to hear more about, comment on past episodes, and we will also be coming live every now and then, and we would like you to build our community. So go now, check the show notes, click and join.
As vozes do professor.
As vozes do mu'allimu.
Lousi ya wa'i.
Teachers' voices.
Welcome to a new episode of Teachers' Voices, the podcast made of voices from teachers around the world talking about their own experiences. I'm your host, Nina Alonso, and for a couple of episodes, I will be talking with experts and teachers about something that everybody in the field of education is talking about, at least in contexts where electricity and the internet is not an issue. And that's artificial intelligence, AI. Since OpenAI released its blockbuster chatbot ChatGPT last November, hundreds of millions of people have experimented with the tool, and AI has become a burning issue in the education. Okay, Indy, on your marks, go beneath the table. So to get us started exploring the topic of AI, I did what I normally do when talking about teaching. I asked teachers. This time, I talked to many of them. I asked teachers who I have worked with during my years working in schools and teachers who I'm connected with through different networks like UNESCO School of Teachers. I also asked teachers in multiple social media groups. And in next episode, we will hear longer testimonials from teachers in Sweden and Pakistan about how they are using AI in the classrooms or attempting to do so. For this episode, let's start with some examples, snippets of a few typical concerns that teachers have told me about.
There are opportunities of personalized learning where AI can give individual students strengths and weaknesses. It's efficient, it's accessible, it has accessibility to a lot of resources that students and children can benefit from. And there's also an element of global learning. But then some of the key challenges with AI is, for example, privacy and security of data, equity and accessibility of not just resources, but accessibility of instruments that AI run on, like computers that a lot of children do not have.
My school first banned ChatGPT, and then they opened it, and then they started to learn about it. And now school as such is curious about it and trying to find ways because it's happening so fast.
I would like to know how teachers like me think we can use AI so as to boost creativity, build emotional intelligence, and help our students think outside the box.
I'm still talking to teachers every day about this issue, and they all show curiosity, eagerness to understand more, a great deal of common sense, and caution. Understandably, some of them feel overwhelmed by so much information and fear being left behind. So to respond to their curiosity and their desire to understand about the foundational aspects of AI, I first speak to a fantastic artificial intelligence expert who also knows a lot about school teaching.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Stefania Druga is a researcher focusing on large language models and the design of creative AI tools and resources.
Yes, my cup says thankful, so I'm thankful for the coffee and for our conversations.
She's the principal researcher at Center of Applied AI Research at the University of Chicago, and the founder of Cognimates, an AI education platform for building games, programming robots, and training models. I tell Stefania what the teachers I talked to told me, mainly about their fears.
I understand it's overwhelming, but you know, we need to be in the driver's seat. And what better way to support people to be in the driver's seat than starting very early, right? You know, my mom is a teacher in a small town in Romania. She's been a teacher all her life. I go to her students every time I visit home. And with her, I always show her like the platform I'm building or like the robots. And she's like, oh, but how would I be able to teach? And then I told her like, look, it's okay if you don't know. Your students know, and you're just there to guide them. Like, they will still get stuck or have questions or more like conversations around values, like, should we do this or not? Or how should we do this? And I think it's important for teachers to overcome their fear and accept that there are some technologies where their students would know more, but that doesn't mean they don't need their guidance and their mentorship.
Stefania mainly tells me about AI literacy and why it's important to understand how language models work. But before that, he describes the possibilities and opportunities that AI opens up for students.
Just imagine that you grow up and you have like this expert that you could talk to and say, what is not explored or discovered yet in math, in mathematics? Like, what new theories should we try to prove? Or what are like the gaps in the theories that we have? What are the misconceptions that we're learning like on the day to day, right? Like, what are the blind spots? These are like extremely powerful ideas to kind of rethink education from the ground up and really think, how do we enable humans to do what they're best at? And like, maybe some of the more repetitive tasks, aspects of our education and work that can be automated, is good to automate them because it gives us more time to do more interesting projects and more interesting work.
To understand more about the fundamentals of AI in education, I asked Stefania to define AI literacy as a starting point.
I define AI literacy as the ability of reading and writing with AI. I think AI becomes embedded in pretty much every single aspect of our lives, even if we realize it or not, is affected by algorithms, machine learning, and AI. So because it's part of our lives, we need to some extent understand how this technology works. Understand enough such that we can make meaningful and critical use of these applications to know, what does it mean to use this application? It's becoming one of the basic literacies, along with reading and writing, being able to have a critical understanding of how this technology works and how it affects our lives and how we could use it better.
Stefania tells me that she started teaching programming to help children become aware of how AI works and to become critical users of AI.
I decided to focus on interest-based programming. So for many, many years, like, I used to teach programming and computational thinking and had an NGO called Hackademia where we did STEM workshops. So I've been teaching computing for young people around the world since 2012 until now. And what I've noticed in all of these years of international workshops, study, you know, classes in universities in K through 12, is that people learn best when they are working on a project that is relevant to their interests. Like, if I'm really into music, I would want to learn programming to make songs or to create music that I couldn't create before. So I'm not motivated to learn programming just to understand how variables work or loops. I actually want to learn programming because I want to build something that I like or I care about. So for me, it was very important with Cognimates and all the other projects I've done, like this curriculum for creative AI literacy, to empower young people together with their families to discover like what they're into, like what are they passionate about, what are their interests, and what could they build with computing in those domains.
I really like the way that Stefania makes these issues that can be perceived as complex, even not just for students, but also for teachers, more accessible through playful approaches and approaches that really make us think about technology in very simple ways and accessible ways.
So the focus is on creative self-efficacy, like making sure that I create the tools that enable students to express their ideas and interests as fluidly as possible, right? Like if they have this vision in their head of this is the type of animation I want to make, or this is the type of drawing or music or game, they are able to express that. And for them to be able to express that, it's important to give them the right primitives, like the right building blocks. So they again don't get stuck in the nitty gritty. They can see very quickly, like, this is how I express my ideas with this programming language that is focused on creative coding.
Stefania tells me about her AI platform, Cognimates, and the research she has done with it.
I started Cognimates during my master's at MIT when I was working with Professor Mitch Resnick and the lifelong kindergarten group that built Scratch, and with Professor Cynthia Brazil from Personal Robots. And I basically wanted to merge these two fields, right? Like Scratch started the field of creative coding for kids and made it very accessible. You could just have like these visual blocks that go together, similar to Lego blocks, and they make programs. So it's very easy for anyone without technical background to start programming and build projects, animations, games. And in Personal Robots, we actually had a lot of smart robots that learn how to interact with us, or voice assistants. And I wanted to kind of create the platform that allows kids and parents and educators to be able to use these blocks to program robots or to program voice assistants, to teach them new skills. So when I started Cognimates, the idea was to make machine learning more accessible, to make AI more accessible. So I made a platform where they could do both the training very easily. So just drag and drop examples of images or text and train a model to recognize, for example, your gestures for rock, paper, scissors. So you can program a game that plays rock, paper, scissors with you, or train a model to recognize backhanded compliments based on examples of text. So it can recognize when you're being, you know, cheeky or ironic. And these were all projects that I've done and ideas that came from students, primarily middle school students and teachers, like doing workshops in schools, after school programs. Although AI can be intimidating and it's a new field and we hear so many things about it, because we were using Scratch, the students and the teachers were very familiar with it. So they didn't hesitate to jump in and see what are the new features, like, oh, I'm already familiar with this visual programming, but now I can use blocks that do image recognition, and I can do blocks that recognize the feeling of my text. So we just expanded, basically Cognimates expanded Scratch, so it enables students, teachers, parents to learn more about AI and program smart games.
Stefania ran big research studies with children aged 6 to 12.
The first study, long-term study I did was in a series of public schools and after-school programs in community centers. And these were schools where they were teaching bilingual, both in English and Spanish, with a lot of students that come from South America, Central America. So we focused on these public schools that were using both languages. And we had three activities. Like the first activity was to make a program where you have a character, her name is Nari, and teach Nari to detect the sentiment if what you're saying is positive or negative. So you would give it examples of text, like, I woke up today and it's a lovely day outside, or I woke up today and it's raining and it's not so nice. So between these two phrases, like, teach the model to recognize that maybe the first one is more positive than the second one. The second activity was focused on images. So they were programming rock, paper, scissors games. So they were taking pictures of their hand, doing the paper gestures, the scissors or the rock, and then have to program the game with the rules. Like when you see rock and paper, who wins? And you're playing against the computer. And the third activity was a smart home activity. So they would create a program to recognize different voice commands to turn on lights or like other appliances in the house. So if I say, turn the lights on, or let there be light, or lights on now, like all of these commands should have the same effect. So teach a model to recognize lots of different ways of expressing the same commands for your smart home.
These kinds of activities are included in the Cognimates AI literacy curriculum. The curriculum is open source and available for teachers and parents. I want to know more about the results of the study that Stefania talks about. What did the children learn, and what did the research show about the children's understanding of AI?
What we found was that even though many of the students didn't program much with Scratch before, never trained a model before, never interacted with some of these robots before, they became more skeptical of the abilities of these smart devices and robots after they understood how they work under the hood, that they're not magically smart. They became more critical of when and how to use the smart toys, the smart devices, the voice assistants. But they also understood that when these devices don't know something, we could teach them by giving them more examples, like, or better examples.
As I usually ask teachers, I also asked Stefania to tell me about the most rewarding part of working with young people.
The best part of doing these workshops, we were doing them in groups, and this process of like collecting the data and talking about what sort of data we should use to teach the model was collaborative. And I thought that was very useful because sometimes it can be tedious, like, oh, I need 10 examples of a unicorn. What are all the ways in which I could describe a unicorn? So when you do that with your friends or colleagues, like everyone chimes in with ideas. And the most important part was like they would pick these examples, train a model to, let's say, recognize unicorns. And then they would try it with a new image that was not in the original examples. And sometimes they would realize it doesn't work very well. And then we would discuss why. Like, oh, you're trying to recognize a hand-drawn unicorn, but in your training set, you only put pictures of realistic unicorns. So what can we do to fix it? Maybe we should add more drawings to your training data set so the model gets better at that, right? So I think it's important in this process, like not only to enable students to realize that these models make mistakes and sometimes are biased, but also give them the agency to know how to fix it, right? Let me give you another example. When they were doing the rock, paper, scissors, maybe they only use pictures of their hand, and my hand has a certain skin tone. And then I wanted to play with my friend, and he has a different skin tone, and the model wouldn't recognize his hand. Then they know, like, oh, let's go back to training, and we'll put pictures of my hand and your hand so it works with different skin tones. So I think it's important for people to be concerned and acknowledge that this technology can be biased and has lots of flaws, but also allow people to fix it or understand, like, what do we need to do to improve the technology if we want to use it, right?
During the COVID pandemic lockdowns, Stefania also worked with families around the world with AI literacy curriculum. These are the kind of activities that she developed.
So every week, these families would do a new activity. One week, they would do an activity where they design their own like voice assistant and decide like what we would want a voice assistant for our family to look like. What should it do, right? And have discussions around that. Another week where they would play a game where they had to trick a machine learning algorithm, like teach it to recognize an object and then see if they can trick it and break it and fix it. Another week where we would talk about marine life, like, and actually talk about how AI could be used for climate change, right? Like looking at images of corals, for example, and how could we teach machine to recognize dead coral from healthy coral, and why does that matter? So all sorts of, like, we had a huge range of activities, some that were without the computer, that were just on paper, kind of like drawing what's inside Alexa and discussing about what's inside the machine, right? How do we understand it? Some that were on the computer, others that were on the phone, others that were like a combination. And what was interesting is that the parents and the kids would bond and collaborate much more when the activities were embodied and when the activities were hands-on, like, you know, had some sort of a tangible element.
One of the issues I am particularly concerned about when thinking about AI is equal access for all children.
You know, this is a question I care a lot about because I've done a lot of work internationally and in the global south. I ran this project called AfriMakers in 10 African countries that was focused on digital fabrication and solving global challenges with local and regional maker community and crafts community. And I know what it means like to do coding or science workshops when you lose electricity or don't have internet, or like in a lot of situations where the infrastructure is much more limiting. So I think it's a very important question, like how do we avoid replicating the digital divide into an AI divide? Most importantly, what I'm seeing right now is efforts in creating large language models that work in more languages than English, but we need more. So that's like the first part, just be able to have these large language models that support more languages than English and support it well. Then there's the cultural aspect, right? It's important to actually work with local experts and with local communities to not only make the AI like speak the language, but also understand the culture. So I think we're not there. There are lots of hurdles and there's a lot of work that needs to be done in order to bridge this gap. The most basic level, like I'm happy to see organizations like Replit is one of them. They have apps that work on phone and work pretty well with low bandwidth connectivity. So they become accessible all over the world. And they supported actually this AI coding school in South Africa, for example. So I'm seeing more efforts to support this type of learning in low connectivity settings, but I think there's always much, much more work that we need to do.
Today, we have talked about the challenges and opportunities teachers see with AI. Stefania Druga has explained how to support children to understand how language models work. Stefania proposes that to be in the driver's seat of the AI journey in education, it's a good idea to develop AI literacy. She has shared concrete activities that I hope inspired teachers to help children develop a critical understanding of how AI tools work so they can use them effectively. I must confess that I was one of these probably overwhelmed people by AI, and I didn't want to dive into the AI question because I thought it was too big and too scary for me. Maybe I thought that you really need to be very technical, read a lot about programming and things that I maybe might not understand very easily. And I must confess that listening to Stefania, I have changed my mind. Now I'm kind of excited about the issue. Now I'm kind of thinking, okay, this is something that can help me. I don't necessarily need to know all the technical aspects of artificial intelligence, but mainly it has made me aware of the need to have conversations and really boost conversation inside teachers into these kind of conversations with children, with students about, okay, this is unavoidable. Artificial intelligence tools are there. They are really embedded in all aspects of our lives. And they can really leverage our experience of learning, they can leverage our experience of teaching, and they can even leave room to more interesting things like, okay, if AI can help us develop much content and give us solutions that we didn't have so much at hand before, maybe there's more time to dedicate to very urgent matters like regenerating the environment, things that I'm passionate about too, and artistic endeavors, so we can develop more our human side and then leave artificial intelligence to the other staffs, and that is not so difficult. This has mainly helped me to lose fear about artificial intelligence and to want to go deeper into that and with, you know, less fear about that.
Why don't we ask ChatGPT to write the outro of this episode?
Okay, so let's go to the script. You can access the open source resources mentioned in this episode through the provided links in our show notes. In our upcoming episode, we'll delve deeper into the world of AI from a fresh perspective. Join us as we hear from educators sharing their firsthand experiences with AI in both lesson planning and classroom instruction. They also shed light on how their students are benefiting from AI-powered learning tools. Additionally, we'll have an AI expert, Inge Molinar, exploring the less sheltered territories of artificial intelligence, focusing on how it can pave the way for more holistic and human-centered approaches to education. For a more in-depth exploration of the latest insights in educational AI, be sure to tune into the thought-provoking discussions Libby Hills and Owen Henkel are having with leading AI experts on their new podcast, EdTechnica. Find further details in our show notes.